You see, power does not necessarily mean freedom. It means how that power is used. And we celebrate, we're thankful to live in this country by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you something. Well, I'll wait on that. Oh, I said, tell me, Pastor, I'll tell you. I got a secret. God's power is not made perfect, is not magnificent, is not wonderful, an increase without weakness. Without weakness. So wait a minute. If you're going to be powerful, man, you got to be strong. You ever think about Jesus? You ever think about how strong he was? He's Almighty God, and yet he surrendered himself to death and weakness. In fact, this whole sermon, the next few minutes that I'm going to be talking with you today, is a paradox. You said paradox? Two cows? Two bulls? No, I didn't say a pair of oxen. A paradox. A paradox is just a word that describes two things that at first appearance seem to be opposite one another. But as you go deeper into it, it reveals a deeper truth. Paradox is strength through weakness. That's the paradox that I want us to see as Christians. That strength comes not through power, not through might, but strength comes through weakness and humility. We call ourselves Christians, and our Lord and Savior humbled himself, even to the point of death. For there was strength. Jesus was more powerful in one sense after his death on the cross, and he was criticized. They said he's going to save others, and he can't save himself. This is a paradox. But through his weakness, we have life. Through his weakness, through his death, we have life. And that is the way God has called us to live, depending on his strength. You know, in John, the Gospel of John, Jesus said this, chapter 5 and verse 30, something that has been like a cornerstone of my life. Of my own self, Jesus said, I can do nothing. Imagine that. In fact, you know, before I come before you to give this message, God has me to realize that of my own strength, I cannot do anything. That's true in giving a sermon. That's true in living in a family with a wife and children. That's true in your job. God wants us to come to the point where Paul came to this paradox that God's power, see, our power and strength is not enough. But God's power is made abundant. God's power is made perfect through weakness. You see, because when we look at our own strength and our own power, we think we can handle it. We think we can do it. That's not God's way. We need the Almighty's power, not, you know, all of Earl Williams' power and strength. I need all of his. All of him. For of my own self, I can do nothing. Oh, Cohen, just kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Ask my wife. I could not give this message of whatever strength and power that God will provide of my own self. I can't do it. Or anything else in life. I believe that's where God wants all of us to come. That we're not Mr. or Mrs. Big Shot. We're not the Almighty. Even if your name is Bruce, that's for another subject. You know, there was a movie called Bruce Almighty. No, Bruce is not Almighty. Earl is not Almighty. Katrina is not Almighty. Whatever your name is, you're not Almighty. He is. And the way you come to learn that is through weakness. Through weakness that you come to see and believe, wow, God, I need all of you for all of me. And then I can help others. But not all of you for just me. For God's power is made perfect, is made magnificent, it is made beautiful and wonderful. We have these stars on the background, you know, red, white, and blue. Got my home state, Texas, on the bottom of it. That's not what we ultimately need. We need God. We need him in all of his strength and all of his power for this nation, for this world, for the kingdom of God. For when we are humble, when we realize how desperately we need God, God is strong in us. For he gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. Great is our Lord. And we sing, how great thou art. I see the sun. I hear the rolling thunder. And I'm reminded of how great thou art and how weak I am. Oh, we need you. And so, Lord, we ask you to bless this sermon. As we begin now, open the eyes of our hearts to see how much we need you, and that you would form and fashion us in your likeness, in your strength, in your humility, and in your weakness. And out of weakness, Lord, let there come strength. Remove the paradox. Let it be how we live, that your power is made perfect in weakness. Let's now turn to the scripture. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And let's begin in verse 7. And Paul writes this, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh. Because of all the revelations and all the inspiration that God channeled through Paul. And to keep Paul from becoming conceited and proud, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these great surpassing revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh. Was that a sticker bug, as we call it, deep in the heart of Texas? They used to run around barefooted. And we'd get these burrs and spurs or whatever you want to call them. And they were hard to get out and you hop around on one foot. No, that's what he's not talking about. This thorn in the flesh was not necessarily something physical. It says it's a messenger of Satan. God allowed, paradoxically so, God allowed the Apostle Paul to meet headwinds, that is resistance from the devil, to torment him. Some want to say, well, his thorn in the flesh, his weakness was, you know, maybe he had this sexual problem or maybe he was weak. He's not talking about a sin. We're not talking about sins of the Apostle Paul. That's not what it's about. It's somebody to come to resist him, to mess with him, to be a thorn in his life, a problem, to torment him. And he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take away from me this thorn in the flesh, this tormentor, Satan himself. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And watch this now. Watch it. Listen to this. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power. How many of you want the power of God in your life? I do. I want the power of God in my life. But notice this. God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Paul's weakness was not some sin. Paul's weakness was the trouble that the Lord channeled his way. Would the Lord send trouble in your life? Yes, he would. Well, why would he do that to Paul? That doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem good. God is good, and God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And God has a bigger vision and a bigger and greater purpose for you than you can even see or imagine. That's what he had for Paul. I read 2 Corinthians here to you. I open my Bible, you open your Bible, and it's full of the writings of the Apostle Paul and others who went through difficulties. Remember, the point of this sermon is that God's power is made perfect in our weakness. In other words, you've got to go through something. You've got to go through the gates of hell. You've got to suffer, yes. You say, oh, no, I don't want the power. God, thank you. I check you next year for some more strength. No, you don't call the shots. But God's power is made perfect in our weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. And the weakness he's talking about is not some temptation. Again, I don't want you to go down that rabbit hole. It's in circumstances where you grow. It's the paradox of the power that is made perfect, that is shined, that is matured, that is waxed, that is molded. We see people molding clay on a wheel. And they take a knife and they take their fingers and they put a little indent there. Now, if that clay was a human being, they'd say, oh, ouch, you know, oh, not there, that hurts. And that's how we are. We're like on God's wheel of clay. And he even allows the devil to come. And it hurts when the devil attacks us. But it is for us to turn and trust God more, not escape, but grow. They have a saying in athletics. I think most of you remember it. No, can you finish this up? No what? No pain, no gain. No pain in Jesus on the cross, no salvation for us. No pain on the cross, no gain of humanity. You see, but they seem to be opposites. They aren't opposites. They are paradoxes. They just appear that way to make a greater impression. You say, oh, really? What's that? Oh, that's what it means. Yes, that's what it means. God wants us to be just like him. You say, but, you know, I don't like to suffer. And what if I, you know, I suffer too much? What if I suffer too much? What if, listen, God works all things, Romans 8:28, you know that. God works all things together. Yes, even the bad things. And if it ain't good, I started to play that song. I love that song. Some of you probably heard it. If it's not good, God's not done with it yet. For he works all things together for the good of those who have been called according to his purpose. He's not going to leave you out there. If it ain't good, he's not done with it yet. He's not done with us yet. But there is pain involved. If Jesus had to suffer and we walk in his footsteps, then we will suffer as well. But he will not, scripture says, have us to suffer more than we can bear. He knows just how much we can bear. He loves us. We are his children. I want to introduce a song, old song. I'm an old man. And I used to hear this old song years and years ago, 30, 40, 50, as a little boy, hear my mom or my grandmother, somebody playing this song, that God knows we are his children and he knows how much we can bear. Listen to another old man beside me sing this song. Let's play that song.
We are our father's children. And we all know that he loves us one and all. You know there have been so many times, oh, where we find the answer. And other voice and call. You know, you know his voice only too bad. knows just how much. Oh, we can bear.
Amen. He knows. He knows what you're going through. I know sometimes I'd say to myself, I can't take this no more, Lord. Oh, Lord, deliver me from it. But you know, sometimes God is finishing us up. He's putting a little dash here of himself and a little dash there. And he's molding us, making us just like him. And he's telling us, I love you. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. He disciplines. He even weans us off of this world. He sees situations in our lives where we're depending more and more on the physicalities of life. And he sends us through a period of scarceness where we have to depend on him. And not so I can make it ourselves. We can do this. We can make it do that. Now, he brings us into situations where we must depend on him. It's not always pleasant. But it is for our good and for his glory, for his glory, for our friends and relatives and coworkers. Said, boy, I don't know how they go through that. I don't know how sisters, this, how they're able to make it, how they live under the pressure of maybe a disease or one of their children who are physically challenged. How do they make it? And we want God to just take that away and just move that away. And it's our nature to want to fix everything. And God says, I will take care of that. I know what time is. I know when it is time to intervene and change. Just like with an oven, you've got a cake or some cookies there. You know, you got to let that cook. We want God. No, God, we don't want to be, you know, I'm not this little gingerbread man on your pan that you can put me in. No, Lord, I don't want to go in that oven. No, Lord, just serve me raw. Well, God said, no, you're not good, Roy. I want you to be like me. If Jesus suffered, if Jesus had many stripes, and we want to be, we'll say it sometimes, oh, Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel you work through. And then God starts working through us, and he starts, you know, cutting this away or sewing this up. Removing that, and we say, oh, Lord, what you doing? He said, I'm answering your prayer. You said you wanted to be more like me. There's a cost to that. And he gives us the strength to be able to, well, not just persevere, but power made perfect. Power made perfect through the suffering. I want to give you a story. I like stories. I like true stories in particular more than made up one. You ever hear of Madame Bouillon? Say, I'm from Texas. I don't, you know, I'm from Mississippi. I don't know how to talk down there. Maybe Louisiana, they said that. But there was a Madame Bouillon. And she was a Christian. And throughout her childhood, she lived in a convent, rhythm. And when she fell in love with the Lord, who died for her, she was impassioned for Christ. Now, this is in a Catholic environment, and she was a Protestant now. And during the extravagant reign of Louis the 14th, she became a thorn in the flesh to the king, who lived in debauchery. Her pen would write as a sword slashing through the society of that age about his sins. And Madame was imprisoned by the king, in a cell lit by a single candle. And after 10 years in her dungeon, she moved her pen one more time to write a poem that testifies to the suffering of God's grace. And this is what she wrote. A little bird I am, shut from the fields of the air. Yet in my cage, I sit and I sing. We wouldn't be singing unless it was the blues, if we were in prison for the Lord and for what we believe and taught. But she sat there in a cage, in a prison. She said, in this cage I sit and sing to him who placed me there. Oh, the king placed her there? No. Well, I saw the king writing up the papers and giving it to a patron to put in her in prison. No. She said it wasn't the king. Uh-uh. No. Well pleased a prisoner to be, because my Lord, it pleased thee. Now this woman understood. She said, my Lord, this pleased you to me as a little bird. Caged up. She didn't blame the king. She knew it was from the one she loved. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Here she is, a weak little bird, a weak little person, and yet she praised the Lord. Yet she set an example of one who did not turn her back. She could have found her way out and denied the Lord, but she sat there. She continued to write the praises of the Lord. I tell you again, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Let us humble ourselves. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you love us so much that you would even discipline us, that you would send us through hard times. Hatred of neighbors, neighbors hating us, or co-workers disliking us, or even our own family members turning against us. We thank you for good times, and we thank you for lean times, Lord, because we know that your power is made perfect in the weakness, not in the strength. Give us, Lord, the ability to take the weakness, to take the pain, to take the suffering, that we might shine. Let shine as the stars of heaven. And that your glory would be shown to all, that you live in us, that you are help. And we ask that you would do this for your glory, to people to see how good you are. Oh, and for your goodness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Comes from the Lord. All of our strength, our future, our present, each breath of air that we breathe comes from the Lord, who gave his life in love for us. In Matthew chapter 26, in verse 26, on that night, when love was manifested in life, in flesh and blood for us, when the help that would be with us forever was given through the body and blood of Jesus. And he says, come to me, all of ye who hunger and are heavy laden, are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you a rest that is myself, God himself. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread. And notice there's food here, bread, wine, because he is our strength. He is our soul's soul, only satisfaction. Nothing else and no one else can satisfy us. Nobody else can help us. Our help comes from the Lord. Trust him. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples. He gives his life to us. Just believe that. It is true. And receive Jesus as your life. Take and eat of him. This, he says, this is my body. This is my life. I went through everything for you. Nothing else matters. And then he took the cup, and Father, I ask you to bless this bread, the body of Christ. Everybody listening to this, anybody listening to this, change their hearts, Lord, if they do not already embrace you as their bread, as their sustenance, as their life, as their help. Give them the supernatural ability to love you and to receive your love for them. And that you would give them eternal life, for you are the bread of life. That if we eat of you, we will never go hungry. Do bless it, Lord. Then it says, and he took the cup after the bread and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. And we give you thanks for this wine, Lord. In your power and your strength, let us experience the cleansing power of your blood, the beauty of salvation, that through your blood we have life and life eternal, through your life, death, and resurrection. And you tell us to drink from all of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant. In other words, Lord, we thank you for the covenant you have made. And in this covenant, you give your whole life guaranteeing that all your promises are true and real. You are indeed our help. Thank you, Lord, that this is not just some, you know, whatever. No, you forever gave your life. Thank you for that, Jesus. And for giving us eternal life through your life, we can live forever and never see death. I'm not talking, Lord, of course, you know, not just in physical death, but we live forever in your presence, enjoying you and the Father and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Thank you for this great blessing. Give us faith to believe it and to receive it. Thank you for forgiving us of all of our sins. Even as you said, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day. This is a covenant promise that when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Oh, happy day that will be, Lord. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, come. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. Now let's listen to the song and sing along with it. His strength is perfect.
His strength is perfect, so thank you. His strength is.